continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano and now Steve Paisley Jordahl. Good morning,
Good
Steve.
Good morning. Paisley, indeed. Today is Paisley Day.
It's Paisley Day.
Yep. Paisley Thursday.
Yes, let's call it that. Yes.
All right. Ray Pritchard joins us in Kansas City again. Ray, by the way, haven't asked you about it in a while. You still on track with your daily video readings of the Bible?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, today we wrapped up the book of 1 Corinthians, did 1 Corinthians 15 and 16, and, you know, we're going back and forth. So tomorrow we jump into the book of Proverbs from the Old Testament. It's just been, it's been a real exciting journey.
Where can people find that if they want to read the Bible along with you?
Keepbelieving.com. Keepbelieving.com. We post a new video every morning. And so if you've been thinking, I want to read through the Bible this year, but you fell off the wagon somewhere along the way, or you never really got started, just come and join us, because by God's grace, we're going to stick with it. And we're going to be in the book of Revelation and wrapping it up at the end of December. So come and join us at keepbelieving.com.
So you could even jump in right now and then start over right. January 1, because you got all these videos.
That's right. They're all, in fact, everything so far from January the 1st through August the 24th, it's already up on the website. And so, you know, at your leisure, right. You just go back and watch the stuff from the past anytime you want.
You can also click on like January 1 and then click on April 15th and watch Ray age in real time.
Well, I was going to ask, you know, you could, what about, you've seen those places where they take a picture a day of a kid growing up and then they just composite them. You could see them gradually growing older. Can we do that with you, Ray?
100%. Yeah. Wait, yes, I'm growing older every single day. There's no question about that.
And the Bible talks about that too, right?
Yes, it does.
Yes, absolutely. Anyway, keepbelieving.com. Check that out. On average, how long is it? Is that 10, 15 minutes a day? How long is that?
Yeah, about that. Sometimes I've got to do 4 chapters. And when you're in the book of Job or some book like that, right. It's going to be more like 20 or 22 minutes. But I think most days, probably 12 to 15 minutes.
Right. All right, check it out. All right, joining us in studio, as he does most weeks, our brother Abraham Hamilton III, who is a constitutional attorney. He's the host of the Hamilton Corner each afternoon from 5 to 6 o'clock. 5 to 6 o'clock Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Good morning.
Good morning.
And he's a pastor.
Yes.
So what's your sermon on this Sunday?
I don't know yet.
Been there and done that.
Oh, yes.
Well, appreciate your honesty.
In fact, I will say when I was pastoring, quote, unquote, part-time while I was working here full-time, Saturday mornings were set aside for finishing what I had started earlier in the week. Sometimes people don't realize how long it takes to do a sermon. It would be 3 or 4 hours on a Saturday morning to finish a sermon. And that's
three or four hours of study.
Been there and done that,
yes,
too.
Ray's done it. Ray, you pastored for how many years?
27 years. Listen, there were a few Sunday mornings when I was up in desperation at 5:15 in the morning.
I've been there as well, yeah. Because nothing was coming together. You're tired on Saturday night.
You heard cramming for an exam.
That's right.
This is cramming for a sermon.
Yes.
That's right.
But I doubt you go tell the parishioners, you know what, folks? I came up with this morning.
No.
I was driving in, stopped at McDonald's, and thought, you know what? I'm going to preach on this.
Yeah, the Lord showed me this message.
Well, Ray, that was a moment of honesty that I was hoping wouldn't even come up.
So, every pastor out there knows exactly what we're talking about.
Yes, that's right.
Well, I asked Abe, but the message was on coming this Sunday, and so he's
yeah. It's only Thursday, Tim.
It's early yet. It's early.
I have plenty of time.
I understand you guys are also dues-paying members of the Procrastinators Club of America.
Well, now don't forget now.
They're getting kicked off because they haven't got the dues.
Full-time jobs.
Yes.
Would go home at night. I'd have marriage counseling sometimes. Yeah. I had a Wednesday night's message to get up. Visitation, all that stuff. So when you start saying we were procrastinating, I'm saying, listen, there just was no time.
Hey, right. I can tell you with this week's Bible study will be on, because that'll be Friday.
Yes.
And that's tomorrow.
That's right.
Spiritual warfare. I know with this one.
All right. So we were talking this morning in our show meeting. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we do some preparation.
That's right.
It may not sound like it, but we do.
And it's not like we wait until like an hour before the show.
The morning of, usually a couple hours before this program airs, we talk about the topics that we are going to discuss. And you had a question, Steve, that came up that we thought, well, we need a lawyer to answer this.
Yeah.
What was the question?
Well, so President Trump is looking to have a trial. He's going in today to be, arrested, I guess. He's turning himself
in. I don't think he's looking to have a trial.
He's going to have a trial. Right. And but the judge has put some restrictions on his social media use during this trial. It's Fulton County Superior Judge Scott McAfee. And he's banning Trump from contacting co-defendants or witnesses in the case, except through their attorneys, and other restrictions. Why, and is that fair, and what does it do?
Yeah, the contacting other represented parties only through their attorneys, that's pretty standard. That's not anything beyond the pale. Once you have a party to any litigation, it's more stringent. You know, on the opposite side, for a prosecution, you can't contact the defendant. You know, you have to contact them through their attorneys. And the judge seems to be applying that to these people because he knows them all personally. But the judge is putting limitations there. It will come either in the form of a court order interim between the arraignment, which is the initial appearance, and the trial date, or even a condition of his bond. So I don't know which manner that the judge employed in this instance. Most likely it's a pretrial condition. The consequences for running afoul of it would be, at best, a contempt of court charge, not anything beyond that, which usually would be a fine or a couple days in jail for the most aggrieved judges.
So it also says that he's banned from intimidating co-defendants or witnesses in the case. Now, with Donald Trump and social media, that's kind of a sliding scale, he takes it to a new level. What is his penalty if the judge decides he has violated that?
Right. Right. If there's a contempt of court, and it more than likely would be limited to a fine if that is what happens. But if I was his attorney, I would require the court to define the parameters of that. What do you mean intimidating? If he posts something about the case, could that be construed subjectively as intimidating, or is he you trying to say he can't post about the case at all, which I don't think the judge did, because that would be a First Amendment breach. They can talk about their own cases all they want. If the judge imposes conditions, however, the penalties would be a contempt of court at most.
I'm kind of misunderstood a little bit. I thought the judge was telling President Trump that he could not post on social media about the case as well as.
Are we talking about the Georgia case?
Yes.
Okay. Right. Which case and which judge?
Right. That's what I'm asking. Right. Which one?
So he is able, if he wants to say post on social media after a day in court, well, the judge is a bozo and got it all wrong, that's still allowed First Amendment freedoms.
I wouldn't recommend that.
Right.
I would not advise.
But you wouldn't be surprised either, would you?
Said true social fingering. But but yes, it seems so far that the admonishments are against communicating in a manner that would be viewed as an intimidation toward other co-defendants or potential witnesses in the case.
What are the chances Trump just thinks, I don't care, I'll pay the fine, it's just a fine, let's go? Type.
I would not be surprised about that either. There's nothing that would surprise me about this entire scenario.
We'll see. but that, you know, you do have a wide latitude, seems to me. And I think that so far the judges have shown that they are willing to go along with a wide latitude that people have, including President Trump, to speak out about the court case, okay? Because after the it would have to be a really egregious, seems to me, direct threat to a judge or to a prosecutor or to one of the other witnesses by President Trump on social media to really get him in trouble. You know what I'm saying? Because yeah. I think the judges understand the magnitude of these cases and that America is watching.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people already feel like this is political persecution. And so they don't want to, this would be my feeling. They know that it's kind of up to them to not put
gas on the
gas. Thank you. Because gas is very expensive today. Yes. And if you try to put that on the fire, you're talking $4 a gallon in a lot of places. So
here's a question.
The other thing I just want to say in this regard, the reason why that you probably have less, firmly articulated admonishments from the court is because they're separate crimes. It would be an additional crime if there is evidence of witness intimidation or, you know, bringing undue influence on a co-defendant. Getting them to plead, they're separate crimes, not just admonishments from the judge, so, in particular in this case.
Intimidation of a witness. You mean like if President Trump...
you got a real nice family there.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Shame if something happened to him.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, and that would be a separate crime.
Okay.
One other question. Go ahead, Steve, then I'll ask my question.
I'm sorry. Quickly, do you think, Abe, that all of these cases were brought timing wise to keep him occupied so he can't campaign?
Does that answer your question, Steve?
I think that does.
Okay. Should I repeat it for you? You want to quote, Abe?
I can. Ha ha ha.
Go ahead, Abe.
You can put that in the AFN story. Yes, I do. I do. And I don't think to keep him from campaigning, but I do think that there was an intentional effort afoot to have this to be a central notion within the same time period that the campaign is going on. For what purposes? You can have disagreements about that.
Ray, you got a question for Abe?
Yeah. Okay. So today he's going to go. They're going to. I don't know. What is it? Well, okay. First of all, let me just start there. What exactly is going to happen to President Trump today at the courthouse there in Atlanta?
They're going to process him on the charges. So he is going to appear at the jail first, is where it's going to happen.
Okay.
In the jail and the courtroom, they're adjacent to one another. So it's not like he has to travel from one place then 25 miles elsewhere, but they're adjacent to one another. He's going to have a mugshot. Like
well, Jenna had one yesterday.
Yeah,
Jenna Ellis.
She did. Yeah.
She was smiling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was
a happy girl. The Tom DeLay.
I filled in for her this morning.
Yeah.
For
Jenna. Yeah.
Yeah. For her to go to there. Yeah. So
well,
the same
did
thing
that
happened
yesterday,
to Jenna is going to happen with President Trump today, and then he'll be released immediately after.
And then the trial date. Does the judge set a trial date?
Yes.
So has that been announced yet?
Not to my knowledge. Not.
Okay, but the prosecutor, what's her name then in Fulton County?
Fantastic Willis.
She asked for a date.
Yeah.
But the judge decides ultimately, right?
Yeah, the judge ultimately decides. Now he or she, I don't know who the judge is, will confer with the attorneys and the parties to try to work calendars to make sure it fits with everybody's schedules. But the judge ultimately decides the trial date.
How in the world? President Trump's got four of these, right?
Mm-hmm. And one, I believe, is already set to start in January 24th.
Which one is that?
Which one?
Is that the documents?
I think it's a Mar-a-Lago documents case.
Let me ask you this. I noticed that if you don't want to comment on this or don't know about it, you know, feel free to tell us what your sermon's on Sunday. But I noticed that one of the defendants in the Mar-a-Lago obstruction of justice charge changed his story. Y'all know what I'm talking about here?
Oh yeah, he had
he changed his lawyers.
Changed his lawyers. Yes. The lawyers came and told him to
you need to change your story.
Right. He recanted his. I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about here, Abe? You know. You don't know.
No,
okay. Never mind then. Forget it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Describe it.
Well, these people were interviewed already by I guess.
The Mar-a-Lago situation with the
documents. Is it the FBI? This is a federal case. Okay. Yeah. So they were interviewed, and apparently, I don't even know who the person is myself, but apparently the person was saying he doesn't know if it's a he. And then with the new attorney, he was advised to change and be more cooperative in terms of his testimony, which the stories I read made it seem like he was flipping to now be part of the prosecution's case. And from this, I guess kind of the speculation about what this is going to be about is about what President Trump told him to do.
Okay.
In trying to, the way the prosecutors would put it, hide documents or boxes.
It happened 2 or 3 days ago. You can read about
His name is Yuskel Taveras. He's the director of information technology at Mar-a-Lago.
Okay.
And he changed his testimony last month about the efforts to delete security camera videos at the club after he changed lawyers. A lawyer paid for by Trump Save America PAC to a public defender.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and what it sounds like is, and I'm not passing guilt here. I'm just saying, to your point, Ed, it sounded like the guy was going to help Trump cover up for Trump, and then he changed lawyers, and the lawyer said, "You better not do that because if you're lying about this, they know about it, and you're going to go to jail for a long time." And he said, "Whoops, I don't want to do that." That's what it sounds like.
Right?
Am I right?
Yeah. No, that's the impression I got from the story. But
from
now
the story.
That's the way the media.
Right, right. So, I'm just curious, to not on this specific case, but your experience in law enforcement in the DA, district attorney's offices in Houston and New Orleans. What is what exactly would be the definition of, quote, flipping a witness?
Yeah, flipping a witness usually is a person who is a co-defendant in a case, and in the course of the prosecution or the investigation, the prosecution is able to successfully offer one of the defendants an offer in exchange for them testifying on behalf of the prosecution against the former co-defendant. So the flipping of the witness would be what previously was an adverse party. They become a portion of the prosecutorial team in exchange for a deal that they've arrived at.
Well, so if you're the defense attorney or the defense team for President Trump, you say, well, the prosecution threatened this person with prison because this guy's already had an interview with the FBI and apparently said, I don't know what you're talking about or whatever. Now, if you're a defense attorney, you're going to question this guy and say, well, they threatened you with prison, so you've changed your story, but how do we know the original story wasn't the right one? You're just afraid to wind up in prison.
Those are the issues that we teased out at trial. One of the things, if we ever flip a witness, we have to disclose any deals that we enter into with any witnesses to the defense to do exactly what you just did. The Constitution provides a right for any charged party to confront witnesses against them. That includes the necessity of turning over any deals that have been reached in order to secure testimony.
Look, you just tell the truth. That's what you just tell the truth. You tell the truth in court about what happened. And that's your best way to avoid going to prison for perjury.
Yeah, okay. But he should have told the truth when he was interviewed by the FBI, because that's under oath, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I have done that in many cases. I've had cases where I'm trying to prosecute a murderous drug dealer, where I get a lower-level drug dealer who worked for the drug dealer. I was like, listen, you're going to take the fall for this guy? This is who we want.
Right, yeah. Right.
That's who we want. I'm telling you, this is who we want.
We want the big fish.
Now, you can play around if you want, and I'll lock you up if you don't.
Right.
You know, I don't have any problem with it, but this is what I really want.
So you talk to your attorney.
What'd you say? Yeah.
I've watched Law and Order.
I said, you talk to your attorney. You decide what y'all want
to
do.
It seems to me that in a criminal trial, that would be one thing. You've got evidence and everything. This is a civil trial.
This is a criminal trial. It
doesn't seem to me that wait,
hold on a second. Just to clarify, which one of these trials are you talking about?
I'm sorry. I'm talking about the Mar-a-Lago trial where they flipped the witness.
So let's be clear. All of these cases are criminal.
Yeah.
The only case that was not criminal is the one with the lady in New York to where she's suing for defamation.
Yeah.
Yes.
But isn't it possible that they just are grabbing this guy is going to change his testimony? How do you know he's telling the truth now as opposed to before?
And these are questions that will be presented to the jury. You know, when I, as a prosecutor, before I would ever flip any witness, I would always evaluate whether or not I would be able to overcome that obstacle. You know, can I look a jury square in the eye and say, listen, here's the reality. Yes, that I'm going to put before you a drug dealer. And the reason why I'm putting a drug dealer before you is because drug dealers normally hang out with worse drug dealers, to be able to communicate that to a jury.
But I don't think people typically flip from the truth to a lie. Not, huh?
Well, if they don't want to risk going to prison.
I was telling the truth the first time, but I think I'm going to lie this time, and I'm going to go that route and take
If you're coming pro-Trump and you're going now to testify against Trump, when you think that the deck is stacked against Trump and you have a better chance of avoiding...
You tell the truth.
Well, I know that's what you're supposed to do.
And that's what you're supposed to do. Any enterprising defense attorney, I would take the opposite view. What you have is a person who is so self-indulged, self-consumed, self-absorbed. Whatever the circumstances present themselves to him at the moment, his commitment to truth is always up for sale.
Well, listen, there's a lot of things.
So my goal is to just nullify his testimony at all to say you can't believe a thing that this guy says.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot of in these kinds of cases too. Although the prosecution does have to lay out evidence, there's a lot of things maybe that you don't know how much they have, right? Exactly. Or do you always know?
No, you have a right. And in a criminal trial, a defendant has a right to know every stitch of evidence that the prosecution is going to present before them.
Well, then that makes you think that this guy who flipped, evidence was presented to him by his lawyer to say, they've caught you in a lie. You sure you don't want to change your story? Or else you're going to prison. You may be going to prison for perjury for a long time. And he said, I don't want that to happen. That's what this looks like.
Yep.
Huh? Am I right? We all agree on that?
I do, yes.
Yeah, whether he's telling the truth this time versus last time, who knows?
Right.
But we'll have to see. But anyway, I just wanted to know the process in the court. But Ed's watched a lot of Law and Order. And
that's right.
I don't know if we needed Abe to. Hey, Ray, you still there?
I am still here. I'm working on Abe's sermon.
That was a good one. Good one, Ray.
I got some ideas for it.
Email that over when you get a chance.
Oh, my word. Okay. Well, thank you, Abe.
Thank you. Ray, right. Send it to me in the cloud, yeah. Ray.
You got it. You got it, brother.
Okay. Thanks to Ray and to Ed, to Steve. My thanks to, let's see, Fred. Was Chris even on today?
He wasn't. No. Sandy Real. Sandy Chris Real. Stayed up late.
Sonny Sandy was on.
Chris covered the debate last night.
Oh,
week, so.
Chris, whatever. I stayed up late and got up early this morning. I'm here.
And getting a sermon ready for Sunday.
Come on, that's
right.
Chris.
That's right. Come on.
All right. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow for Trivia Friday.